I don't know if you were tuned in on the Sabbath, the webcast from Cincinnati, when Mr. Clyde Kylall gave his sermon. But he mentioned at the end of his sermon a little bit about the relocation proposal of the Home Office moving to Texas. Some of you may be familiar with that, and that it has generated within the church quite a bit of interest, quite a bit of debate, some controversy. It's been discussed for over a year now, the possibility of the Home Office in Cincinnati moving to near Dallas, Texas, north of Dallas, the Denton area. I'd like to give you an announcement here from the Council of Elders as an introduction to my sermonette. We'll be getting into the Word of God, of course. That's the important thing today. But all the pastors and elders around the world will be reading the same announcement. We've just completed a profitable General Conference of Elders meeting in Cincinnati. There were about 300 there. I think it was, what was it, Steve? About 150 elders or so, and about almost as many wives. So it's, and that's from all over the world. International pastors and elders from all over the world were there. Once a year, we have this meeting. And the purpose is to have consensus on approving the new strategic plan for the United Church of God. This past year, the church has put a tremendous amount of work and effort into having, probably for the first time in our history, a truly, shall I say, professional strategic plan, where it is very well done and will help us in making progress and moving forward. That was approved by all of the elders. Also, the operation plan for the church. These things are all familiar and very important to those of you who understand having a business of your own, or running a business, or being involved in a business. You need to have a plan. You need to have an operation plan for each year, and a budget. And so each year, it is the responsibility of all of the elders to come together, and if they can't make it to Cincinnati, they ballot, just like sending in a local ballot for who you might vote for in a political races. They send in a ballot ahead of time on these issues, approve or disapprove or whatever. The budget was approved, and so we have a budget. I think it's this coming year, about $25 million. Income is holding at about 1-2% increase, despite what's happening in the country. And so these were all approved by large margins. We greatly appreciate your prayers for the overall success of this annual event. This announcement is to update you regarding the proposed Home Office relocation to Texas. As you know, a resolution to rescind last year's ballot approving the move was placed on this year's agenda. So it was re-balloted on, in other words, again, the second time. And this year, the resolution to rescind last year's proposal to move, the rescind resolution passed by 187 in favor of not making the move, and 175 opposed to the resolution to rescind. The resolution to rescind was to rescind the ballot that was taken last year, to postpone it. It is clear that the two ballots on the relocation of the Home Office demonstrate that we're not united on this issue of whether or not the move should take place to Texas. So how do we proceed now? All of us who serve on the Council of Elders and in the administration want you to know that we remain dedicated to our primary purposes of preaching the gospel and preparing a people. We must not allow our differences over the relocation issue to undermine our commitment to do the work of God that He's called us to do. And all of us want the facilities which will best serve our needs in the future. The initial reason for proposing the move was to address the needs of the church, both short-term and long-term. The administration has the task of bringing to the council recommendations on how we should now proceed. So at the next Council of Elders meeting, and let me just, so you don't get confused, The Council of Elders are the 12 elders who are elected by all of the elders worldwide to be our governing board during the year. The General Conference of Elders, when you hear that term, General Conference means all of the elders worldwide. Some people get that confused and think it's the same. So Council of Elders, there are 12 men on it, governing board for United, General Conference of Elders, all elders worldwide. And so the administration and Mr. Clyde Kylo was reconfirmed as the president of United for 3 more years at this recent meetings that we had. And he has been asked to prepare and bring forward at their next meeting, which will be in August. It's every 3 months. There's a meeting of the Council of Elders, the Board of Directors. They have face-to-face meetings where they can sit down together and work together and move forward together. Mr. Kylo will be bringing forward to, in the next council meeting, other suggestions about this move. Should it go to Texas? Should it stay in Cincinnati or somewhere else? We will keep you informed of decisions and progress on this important aspect of God's work. Thank you for your continued prayers and faithful support. So that is being read everywhere in all congregations. Just very quickly here and briefly, to give you other things that we do briefly as a reminder. I know some people are not too interested in the details, so I'm not going to spend overly amount of time. But while we are all together there and others who've sent in their ballots, each year, balloting takes place for 3 new men to be on the Council of Elders, the 12. And so 9 men will remain the same, but every 3 years, 3 of them come up for, they have to be reconfirmed to stay on the council, or they're replaced by someone else. Gives others an opportunity to serve on the Council of Elders. And this year, here are the results of the balloting for who will be on our Council of Elders. Mr. Paul Kiefer was selected by the General Conference of Elders by a majority vote. And we, none of us know who votes for who. This is all done privately and confidentially, by the way. And we all prayed and fasted. Every elder worldwide was asked to pray and fast and seek God's will and accept the outcome and the results, whether it went your way or not. That's the way we approach it. And Mr. Paul Kiefer, who is our minister who lives in Germany and oversees our churches and the work in Germany, was selected to be the international council member. Our bylaws require that one of the men on the council serves in an international area. And this year, Mr. Paul Kiefer, his first time to be on the Council of Elders. You can read some of Mr. Kiefer's articles in our Good News magazine and in the World News and Prophecy magazine on events in Germany and in Europe. U.S. council members who were elected this year. Remember I said every year 3, when their 3-year term is up, they stand again for re-election or are replaced by another elder. Mr. Aaron Dean was selected by the General Conference of Elders to continue on the council for another 3 years. Mr. Dean, if you don't know him, lives in the Big Sandy, Texas area. He is the only, no, he's not the only elder on the council who is not an employee of the church. Most of the men on the Council of Elders are full-time employees of the United Church of God. They serve as pastors or directors of various areas of the work. But we do have, I think, 2 men. Mr. Bill Eddington from Australia is retired, and a retired elder who has never been employed by the church. He's on the Council of Elders. But Mr. Aaron Dean also is not an employee of UCG. He will be on the remain on the Council of Elders. 2 new men added to the Council of Elders this year were Mr. Darris McNeely. Any of you, have you ever heard of the little magazine World News and Prophecy? Any of you get that? It's sent to all members. Current events from a biblical perspective. Mr. Darris McNeely is the managing editor of our World News and Prophecy publication, and he pastors churches in the Indianapolis, Indiana area. The other man selected to the council is Mr. Robin Weber. Again, he pastors churches in the San Diego, Southern California area, San Diego pastor. And if you always, when you get World News and Prophecy magazine, turn it over, look on the back page, and you'll always see the same thing, the headline, "This is the Way." And Mr. Weber is the one that every month writes those articles about "This is God's Way." So you've probably seen his name as well. So those are changes to the Council of Elders. I won't take time to go into the bylaws, amendments to some of the bylaws each year. Some of the men make recommendations to some modifications or changes to our governing documents. And the only one that passed this year was an amendment that added now the fact that whenever an amendment is recommended, that not only are statements of concern allowed about that amendment, now for the first time, statements of support, well, makes sense, doesn't it, will also be allowed. But that wasn't in our governing documents originally. That's all I wanted to give you on that. Why should we care about what I just announced? What difference does it make in your life about what I just announced? How many of you remembered to pray even once? Maybe you did, maybe some of you more than once. As we ask all of you to please remember us back there, we don't want to be doing our own thing, seeking our own will. Everyone that I know did pray and fast, and as far as I know, they were seeking God's will and not their own will. And the outcome here, we seek God's guidance, all of us in our lives and in the church. How many of you remembered to be praying for us, because we certainly needed it, that God's will would be the outcome of this conference of elders? If you didn't pray, or if not, why not? You might say, well, I'm not a part of United, I'm not interested in the organization. I don't know, there are various reasons for things like that. But what I'd like to do now in my short message is look into God's word for the answer to these questions of why should you care? Even if you're not part of United, or if maybe, you know, brethren, and United has the perspective, and I certainly do as a pastor, we are not the only part of God's church on earth. You know that, and I know that. God's church is composed of all of those who have His Holy Spirit and are studying His word and are striving to live by it in their lives. They're part of God's church. So let's look into God's word for the answers to the questions that I ask. And we're going to take a look at three things that are very important to God within the church. First thing, remember three things now. Why I read the announcements, why they're important, why we should care. Number one is love for one another. I've only got one scripture in most of these points, so it won't take me too long. Love for one another. Turn with me. Let's see what Jesus said. It is very important to God. John 13. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. We've just been through the Passover season and days of unleavened bread, and so you're familiar with the scripture. But I don't know how many times we can read it and say it's too much. Every time I read it, I realize how far short we are falling in the church of God, in living by it. Knowledge is one thing. Living it is another thing. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, where Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." That's the new part. Christ showed how we should be loving one another. Sacrificial love, forgiving your enemies. That you also love one another. And then verse 35, the powerful verse, "By this all will know that you are my disciples," not by all your knowledge, "but if you have love for one another." And so, you know, if you love the ministry and you care about us, and not only in United, but wherever, if loving one another is important to you, you will care about United and what we're doing and any other group of God's people. because you want to do what Jesus said to do. It's important to him. And he emphasized it over and over and over in his final hours with the disciples. Let's go on to point number two. Three things that are important to God. One, to love one another. Two, unity of mind and heart. Does God allow division? Of course he does. He finds out about a lot of things, about a lot of people. But what is it that God says we should all be striving for, seeking? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Read with me verses 1 through 6, first of all. Where Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is one of his prison epistles, he's sitting in prison writing this, I beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have a long ways to go, don't we, in the church among God's people. But in united, we need unity. And that's what that announcement was all about that I read to you. Paul goes on to say there is one body. That means there's only one church. You might say, yeah, but look at all these churches out here. Remember, the Bible is talking spiritually. When it says there's one church, it's not talking about organizations. It's talking about God's people, the body of Christ, all over the earth. There is one church, those who are converted and have God's Spirit. One Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Look at all, one. One Lord. One faith. There's only one true faith. One baptism. Doing it God's way. I won't go into elaborating on that. It's only one true baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. And then we'll finish with verses 11 through 13. And he himself, that is God, gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He did that. Why? For the equipping or preparing of the saints for the work of ministry. That means the work of service. That's all of us. For the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. Why and when? Notice verse 13. That's why I'm reading this to end there with verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. We have a long ways to go yet, don't we, brethren? And yet it's very important to God. Keep this in mind, brethren. No matter what happens in churches or in the church or in United, God wants unity. And keep this in mind, which I'm sure many of you do. God's aim, and God will achieve it, is there's only going to end up at the end of this age when Christ returns and it's time for the wedding supper, the bride marries Christ, the church, it's only going to be one bride. Not going to be that group marries Christ, that group marries Christ, that group marries Christ, that one wedding. God wants unity, and he will achieve it. It's important to him. And then thirdly, peace within the church. Peace is very important to God. We know that. The kingdom of God is all about peace. That's the goal. And there will be peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33, as we wrap this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. You know this verse probably as well. One verse here where Paul wrote, he said, God is not the author of confusion. That can also be translated disorder or division. God is not the author of division or confusion. But he is the author of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. That's God's will. Peace. That's his goal, and it will be achieved. But I do want to close with one final scripture from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Matthew 5, 9. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Read with me. These Beatitudes, they're called. Verse 9, Matthew 5, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Are you a peacemaker or a troublemaker in the church? And how we handle things, the attitudes that we have, how we learn to deal with conflict. Are you a peacemaker? Do you strive for peace in the church at every level within the congregation? That's God's will. That's God's way. So in conclusion, love, unity, peace, they go together. These are things that are very important to God. They should be very important to us. That's why you should care about what happens in the United Church of God. We are part of God's church.